It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl. How you been?
I've been fine, man. I just, the things that, you know, at times I'm looking at and seeing, and they just don't register in my mind. And I just had an editorial writer of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, James Causey, on. And I got to ask you the same questions, a couple of the same questions, because, you know, I would love to hear your perspective on these things. You know, Dr. Craig, the fact that protests on universities, they're regulating protests now. And so if you say something or do something that we don't like, then we are going to prevent you from protesting. Dr. Craig, you're a constitutional scholar. Why is this happening? And why are we being silent on people controlling who can protest, what they can protest about? Aren't we losing something in the transition of this?
I think you're right, Earl. And I James Causey's a very serious man, so very thoughtful man. So he probably had things to say about this as well. I would say we do have to be careful with facts. The problem with our current communication system is the facts are so murky that everyone seems to have their own facts.
Right.
But it certainly appears as if what's going on is that some universities are clearing out just peaceful protests they don't like, and also using a definition of safety, which includes, I feel uncomfortable, I don't like this protest is happening, and therefore I want it to go away. And there's a lot of murkiness right now, which I think is driven by Likud, by the conservative wing of Israel and AIPAC in this country, a huge campaign operation, which defines anyone who does not fully support the foreign policy and the policy of this current Israeli government is anti-Semitic. And I can tell you, as someone who is culturally and biologically Jewish on my father's side, that is not a reasonable, and it's a very damaging understanding of anti-Semitism, which is a real thing that also needs to be addressed in this situation. But I did see, as far as larger national media, Joy Reid last night on MSNBC was saying very much the same thing. So I've been impressed. She's not always been this progressive, but she's really moved in that direction. So you're hearing it in places. But I don't know, the president of Vanderbilt was on NPR Morning Edition this morning. And yeah, it just, there, it almost seems, Earl, and this is not a fully formed, this is a thought about the now, that the way the right wing and held this kind of witch hunt kind of hearings, very McCarthyistic, where they've been assailing university presidents, Ivy League presidents, for their supposed anti-Semitism, seems to have caused them to go in a reaction in the other way against a lot of peaceful protests on campus, which is the should be a critical part of learning to be involved at this level, to care this much. This is actually part of the university's function, and the authoritarian right doesn't like that, and neither does Benjamin Netanyahu and Likud.
Now move to this, Dr. Craig. Congress passed a bill that could ban TikTok after years of false starts. They slipped this, well, didn't exactly slip it in, but why it should be in the bill, the $91 billion bill, to deal with, you know, the funding of Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan is beyond comprehension. Your thoughts about this, we're going to force China to sell this company to somebody we accept, as if somehow we should have that kind of power and authority. And yet, if somebody did the exact same thing to us, we would be in opposition to that, Dr. Craig. Explain that to us, please. How does this make sense?
It makes no sense. I can't create meaning. It makes sense as far as our rivalry with China and our very dangerous on both parties to different degrees, you know, escalation with China as the enemy, which is very dangerous because it is the second superpower in this world right now. It's becoming more of a bipolar world, especially militarily, as far as who and as far as flashpoints like Taiwan, but which is a very dangerous situation. But there's this tradition in Congress, which is undemocratic, of attaching things to bills that have to pass. And this is the thing that got attached, even though there's too much support for this as it is. Don't get me wrong. There is support in Congress for this because there is a lot of anti-China thought, which has caused during the pandemic waves of anti-Asian bias and acting out and harassment in this country. This is a real problem. But here it is, Earl. There's this fig leaf that, the owners of TikTok are, you know, could be ordered by the Chinese government to hand over all their data. What that misses is that the current American capitalist social media firms, the data there is collected in huge amounts without much permission, and it is highly insecure, and it was used in 2016. To try to steal an election by the Russians. And so the way to address this is not to China bait and bash. It is to have strong privacy laws that protect the data of every American citizen, regardless whether it's an American corporation owned by Elon Musk or whether it is a Chinese national corporation. And so this misses the whole point, and it actually helps instigate an arms race with China, which is very dangerous, and a rivalry with military rivalry with China. So, and China did react with hostility, and it's unclear how well this will go in court. Let me point out a real contradiction here. One thing conservatives say they want when they're out of power all the time is they want only to pass single issue bills and to stop packing them together. So if you want to aid Ukraine, then you have to also allow this TikTok provision to go in. They said that. Mike Johnson, the speaker, has said that. Once they had power, and the only way they could pass things is attaching toxic bills to other bills, they started acting the same way. So I'd be calling out both parties, but I'd point out that the Democrats haven't made that promise recently. The Republicans keep making it and then not meaning it because really they're just about passing their stuff. And what they say as far as their communication, they're not always serious about, which the folks who listen to this show, who are the audience, who are conservative-leaning voters, should remember that they're willing to say anything to you and then do the opposite.
You know, Dr. Craig, this whole, TikTok is such a toxic and dangerous entity in this country, and it's poisoning the minds of our young people, and this is why we must. And Dr. Craig, TikTok is not much different than many of the other sites. So if you stop TikTok, what do they think they're going to do? Are they going to then succeed, Dr. Craig, in stopping young people from being indoctrinated with these other sites that are equally as bad?
Of course not. They're going to further turn young voters against the system. I think there's a huge number of TikTok users.
Yes.
And in addition to that, they're not really going to protect privacy and their data because it's not protected by the other social media companies that are owned by American firms. But why don't they do privacy overall? Because they're not trying to actually solve a problem they see this as a nice way to go after China and some nationalism, but they don't want to take on the united power of the social media industry, which is why they are still largely unregulated, despite the damage they're doing our society and the huge role they've played in putting democracy on the brink of collapse in 2016 and 2020. But you'll notice no unified effort. We could protect everyone's data, okay? And we should. It's our data, it's our information, it's not theirs, and we're not doing it. And therefore, the 2024 election is far less secure than it should be.
You know, Dr. Craig, when you talk about protecting people's data, I don't, you know, because I don't understand the technology as well as younger people, and I'm still struggling with it. But what I do know is, how come every time, I don't care what it is, I buy, I purchase, where I purchase it from, somehow my information is sold on the open market, and people who I don't want to have my information have my information. It's why I get so many emails, why we get so many calls from people, because somebody's selling our data. And without us even knowing it, Dr. Craig, and you know what? It's not just TikTok. So why
That's right, because of the power. They're selling it and they're not securing it. So it's also being stolen by people from Russia and China and Eastern Europe, okay? People related to directly to the Putin administration. And all of our data is out there now. I'll tell you, honestly, I've frozen all my credit because the fake accounts could be put in your name all the time. Our data's out there. And in fact, the scandal recently that did not make the national headlines but should have, was covered places like American Prospect. The hospital industry at the end of the Trump administration got a provision passed that removes them from liability but only makes their securing of our health data voluntary. And now there have been a wave of more breaches of our data. So our health data is all being stolen, and these systems are all interconnected. And the hospital industry only really cared, the big hospital systems, about their liability, not about protecting your data. That's how they will act unless we force them through democracy to act otherwise.
Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Dr. Craig, payday lending. Our next topic on the Earl Ingram Show with Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back to a Wednesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show, the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You can join us at any time in this conversation, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Dr. Craig, I've been talking and fighting payday lending for the better part of 20 years or more. And it never made sense to me that you know, when people, the average citizen is charged, there's a law called usury. And I think the usury law says that you can't charge any more than, I don't know, Dr. Craig, I think it's 30% or maybe it's not that high. Whatever it is, it's clearly not what payday lending, entities can charge legally. If there is a usury that's applied to the citizens, Dr. Craig, it clearly should also be applied to, you know, the corporations and the banking institutions that own the payday lending companies. So for people who may not know, here's a case that you know, that you should, you know, take a look at. Here's a young lady. Her case is why proponents of payday loans see them as filling a need, providing access to loans for people whose credit scores are too low to receive other types of financing. Pedroza's experience was made possible by a longstanding lack of payday loan regulation in Wisconsin, and also underscores why many find the system to be predatory. After paying off her first loan without much of a problem, of course, the lady was struggling. She needed a few extra dollars to pay her rent. So when you get in that kind of situation, Dr. Craig, the first law of nature is self-preservation. And number one is making sure you have a roof over your head. So when a person is in a situation where they're in danger, Dr. Craig, of being put out of their homes, not to worry. Dun, 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 dun. Payday loans. So they make you believe you come in, you're at wit's end, Dr. Craig, and you sign some papers. And they give you the $300 that you need to keep, you know, your homestead. And you don't realize all the compound, you know, if you can pay it on time, Dr. Craig, and pay it off, you know, that's great. Most people, I would say, can, but a growing majority of people today, based on the way the economy is, Dr. Craig, can't. And so payday loans have compound interest that can take a $400 loan up to $1,200 if the person doesn't pay these things on time. And yet, Dr. Craig, this is predatory lending. People are struggling and suffering. And why is it that we can't get that fixed, Dr. Craig? Payday lending entities on military bases. What sense does that make? We've got people fighting, you know, supposedly to defend our country, but payday lending entities on a military basis. Payday lending on every corner in communities where they, who can least afford it, Dr. Craig. Your thoughts?
And it's part of a broader, Earl, feeding frenzy that Wall Street and the big banks are having. By the way, it's under different brand names because they don't want to tarnish their brand name. But it really is, if you follow the money, Citibank and Chase right. Bank, or Bank of America, okay? And the big Wall Street firms, whether they own it or they invest in it and own a whole bunch of its stock, and it's a combination of both. And by the way, I'll point out that when a pharmaceutical company charges $70,000 a year for a life-saving drug that we did the research for them, the public did, because
right.
we grabbed the monopoly, it's Wall Street egging them on and saying, you can get more profit. You need to charge to the maximum. Okay, so they're behind a lot of this, and they're behind payday lending. And it's unethical by any standard, a liberal religious or a conservative religious standard, and you can go to the other major religious traditions. If you actually read Jesus going into the temple and the money changers and telling them all off, that was not a support of the big banks and usury, okay? Quite the contrary. There's no way though I'm sure there are fundamentalist ministers who are behind Donald Trump that will try to tell me it meant something different than the words say. And you should think about that. And so... There never seems to be a consensus to do it because the banks invest in politicians. And so you need an aroused citizenry in groups organized enough to force this through. I can tell you the last time this happened was when the Democrats had full control of the legislature and the governor's office for a brief 2 years at the end of the Doyle administration, 2009 through 11, okay, in that session. And there was a real push to do it. Republicans were all against it, just so folks understand. But I'm going to be bipartisan here, because I'll point out that the Democrats couldn't find the will between the two houses to actually do it because the payday lending industry and the banks invested heavily in them. And some of them, not all of them, this was a division of the Democratic Party. There were folks that were allies that were fighting this fight, but there were others leading the caucuses who wanted to win re-election, who wanted the money and tried and cut a deal. And the result was nothing was done. And that and of course, there's been no attempt since Republicans took over to do something about that. And I say this to Republicans and civic media network all over the state, know your legislators, ask them why, ask them how it is Christian to allow this. By the way, Earl, I think the credit card rates are usury, 25% interest.
Oh, yes.
When we give them the money by giving them access to the Federal Reserve discount window, we essentially print the money for banks to use. So that's usury, but you're right. When you talk about payday lending, you talk about all the other products, they call them products, like the rent-to-own furniture and all the rest, all of the different scams. It is just putting already vulnerable people who are having trouble getting by deeper in debt and making the crisis worse and causing them to be evicted, causing them not to be able to feed their kids, causing them to go out without medical care for their family. This is causing a lot of the mental health issues and the crime and the instability and everything we go and blame the people for and not the people who are making their lives miserable so they can extract a little more profit.
You know, Dr. Craig, I just love the way you passionately explain the truth of what is taking place. And I know you're not going to hear this conversation anywhere else, Dr. Craig, because, you know, the poor people aren't, you know, really good to talk about. People don't see them, and yet we dismiss them. They're a very integral part of the society, and somebody's got to be willing to have that conversation. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and Earl Ingram on The Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, can you explain this to me and the listening audience? Just about 10% in a new poll have heard a lot about Biden's climate action. President Biden has done a lot of great things and propose a lot of great things to address and deal with the climate situation, Dr. Craig, that he clearly is not getting credit for. People aren't aware of it. People apparently not enough people are concerned enough with the climate situation that we're faced with. And yet we've got a man, President Biden, who's been working feverishly to address these issues that he clearly is getting pushed back because there's money to be in them there, gold in them there hills. Why is it that people don't get the message about the impact of what Joe Biden is attempting to do with climate?
Because we have a polluted communication environment where it's not delivered, I think is the simple answer. And it's one of the great threats to democracy. It isn't only the attack on voting or the integrity of elections that we've seen from Donald Trump. And so you have something historic. What President Biden did in the Inflation Reduction Act, which is too political a name, it really should be called the Climate and Jobs Act, but they wanted to push against the whole inflation thing. That was, I think, too cute, so to speak, so that didn't help. But it's the largest climate investment in U.S. history and the largest in world history. And it is having a massive impact in Milwaukee. There's a New York Times reporter on the ground reporting the impact and the pending impact already. I talked to her on Friday, and she was talking to a lot of city officials and county officials. I put her on to what the Milwaukee public schools are trying to do in that area. And so there's a ton going on here. And here's the thing. We used to be a country that could understand that when you faced an imminent threat, you had a moral obligation to come together and to take action.
Right.
So if fascism rose in Europe, it became clear there was going to be a second world war worse than the first. World War One only was one World War One because there was a World War Two. There are plenty of folks who tried to stop that from happening, which led to the Holocaust and cost 20 million people their lives. We have known as a scientific certainty since the 80s, at least. I mean, we've actually had the research from the 50s, but when was it a certainty? In the 80s, that we were warming the planet, it would have disastrous consequences, and we need to do something about it. And this is part of the corruption of our country. A powerful elite, the fossil fuel industry, the big utilities like We Energies here in the Milwaukee area and others in other parts of the state, WPS, XL, I'm just naming a few, they all lied about it, so they keep making their profit and actually put out misinformation, continue to fund research institutes that lie about it and deny it's happening. And President Biden actually did the work to try to start to address it. And we're pretty late. We have to cut emissions in half by 2030. We got 6 years to take the first step to addressing runaway climate change. Climate change has already happened. We're already seeing it. We're already seeing it in Wisconsin, in the weather where we've been having. And so, but it's a threat to democracy while someone does something that big and wants to do more. He considers it a down payment, okay? He only got a third of what he wanted to get it through because of Joe Manchin, senator, former senator, he's outgoing senator from West Virginia, lame duck. He's not running for re-election. And so, but if the public, when they make this critical decision about voting, doesn't know that hasn't been conveyed to them, then how is democracy functioning in any way, shape, or form? And why does the media have all this protection, newspapers, media for free speech? Because they're supposed to be a key instrument of democracy, but they're owned by big corporations and they're not operating that way. This should be the biggest story in the country. And that research is very disturbing, Earl. Was that ProPublica you said had done the research? Only 10% have even heard of it.
No, The Hill. This is The Hill.
The Hill. Okay, great. Stuff in The Hill. It's a good newspaper. It's a capital newspaper in D.C.
Yes.
But it does a lot of good material. So that's great that that's out there. But there's a lot of media responsibility. The media is not the only one. We are, at Citizens Action Wisconsin, we're not the only one. We've built a coalition working like heck to make this clear and also to get as much of the money as possible for the city of Milwaukee, for other cities like Green Bay, Eau Claire, Wausau, and for the state of Wisconsin, because a lot of the money doesn't come automatically. You have to apply for it. You have to figure out the financing. There are a lot of financial mechanisms. They're building a green bank. So the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee Public Schools have been out front trying to figure out how to maximize the impact. And we've been working with them for several years to set up for this likelihood this would eventually happen. So but people, you can't, when I talk to this audience, you can't make the media change. I mean, you can communicate your unhappiness about your local newspapers if you want, but what you can do is join groups that are making this clear. Because a lot of what happens in elections is people talking to each other, organized groups of people systematically going and talking to voters that need information and aren't getting it from the media ecosystem, either through traditional media or the propaganda media of the right that is deliberately trying to miseducate them in order to hold power, in order to do the bidding of the big fossil fuel companies and the big utilities.
You know, Dr. Craig, out of all of the hot button issues, if you will, that are happening in this country. And all of them are very important in their own right. But climate change, and you have said this many times and others, is at the apex of it. And yet, on a daily basis, we can dismiss those things because we don't see it clearly. You know, we don't see a tie-in between the floods and between the warm winters and, you know, the fact that many of the rivers are drying up. And we don't see any connections between all those things, Dr. Craig, that the ice caps are melting. And so because we don't see those things, Dr. Craig, we don't see them as an immediate threat. But I think that's part of the problem and why, you know, the media has to do a better job of getting that information out.
There are some, you know, people who really study the way humans process threats and say this is one that's really hard to convey because it's not like you're facing down a lion,
right?
Or a person with a gun, or you're in a war zone. Then our fight or flight instinct kicks in right away. That's what we're evolved for. But it's really hard with these conceptual things. And we frankly did not do enough to prevent the rise of fascism, right? So even then, when it was more conceptually clear, something is happening where bad actors in Europe are remilitarizing and are going to start the greatest war in human history. Even with that, it was not clear enough to get unity. This is something we all need to do together, and everyone has a responsibility. We need to. Here's the thing, though. It's what the corporate propaganda has tried to tell us: we'll lose something. It's the other way around. It's massive investments that will create a lot of good jobs, especially if we structure it right, that will create, you know, a better technology, better, more livable houses and buildings. It's actually going to be an economic boon, but they need to mislead you on that. The only people that lose are the people who own a lot of oil in the ground and natural gas in the ground, or utilities that have built massive fossil fuel plants or continue to build them. We Energies wants to build big natural gas plants to profit from them, and taking that away from them and using a different kind of energy and democratizing energy. Because one of the things they don't like about rural energy is if you do rooftop solar and you do massive energy conservation in your houses, all the fixes, you don't need as much as their product anymore.
Dr. Craig, do you think that part of this, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. As always, you can join us at any time in the conversation. Do you think, Dr. Craig, that a lot of this is that those of us who have more years behind us than we do ahead of us don't see it as much as a crisis as those who have their future clearly ahead of them?
I think that's a part of it. And there, we're also, you know, hard to teach old dogs new tricks sometimes in the fossil fuel economy. But young people think more about the future because they, you know,
it's theirs.
Have a larger future. And, you know, there's understandable upset with President Biden's Gaza policy, and it's moved a bit. It needs to continue to move. All the hand wringing about how this is going to cost us the election because young people won't vote. Well, center climate change, okay? In other words, Gaza is a huge, important human rights, moral issue, but it's not the only issue. It's not going to be very good for the Middle East if we have runaway climate change or liberation in the future of the Palestinian people or anyone in the Southern Hemisphere. And it'll be bad here as well in the Northern Hemisphere. There's going to be massive in-migration to Milwaukee. You want to believe that the immigration crisis and the political use that's made of it by the right to try to gain power is bad now, go into runaway climate change, there's going to be refugee movement of people who are moving to uninhabitable areas of this world at a scale we have never seen before. Billions of people on the move. Try the politics of that.
844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us at any time. You know, Dr. Craig, Sandy and I have been... I picked out 30 actions that President Biden has undertaken in his soon to be 4 years in office. And people will be amazed as on Friday, we're going to run down the list of those accomplishments. And so when people don't know of these accomplishments, you know, it's easy to say he hasn't done anything. Here's another accomplishment just the other day. Biden administration cracks down on junk fees in air travel. Now, unless you're traveling a lot and you know, and fees, hidden fees that are in all of these different things that are legal, Dr. Craig, but really should not be legal. They're things where people can be charged for things they don't know anything about. And somehow that's okay. Well, to the credit of Joe Biden, he's cracked down on junk fees in air travel. He's cracked down on junk fees in on credit cards and all sorts of things, Dr. Craig, that impact and affect everybody, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, and people aren't hearing about it. So I think it's important, and we're going to start focusing, Dr. Craig, on making sure that we talk about all of these great things and really great things. If you look at what Joe Biden has accomplished in his 4 years, you will say, you'll be hard pressed to say that he doesn't wind up in the top 10% of presidents that got things accomplished. Hold the thought. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action and You. I can't believe we're in the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. It's always great to have my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, on the line. So Dr. Craig, your thoughts about spending time explaining and talking about all the different things that President Biden has gotten accomplished in his 3+ years in office.
I think we should probably break it into two categories. It's a great idea. One is things he's actually accomplished and things he has tried to accomplish, right, and is promising to accomplish. So we mentioned his huge investment in climate change and therefore massive increase in jobs. In fact, the fact that this economy is performing beyond the expectations of economists and we have still have record low unemployment is partly because he is invested in the economy like no one in 50 years. So folks need to understand that this is how the economy works. When you incentivize investments and you put money into things, it creates economic activity and it creates opportunities for all of us. He is the most pro-union president in a very long time, at least half a century. And so we see a rise. We just saw UAW win its first Southern auto plant in Chattanooga. They have another election coming up in May in Alabama. A lot of the damage to Wisconsin has been the loss of those union manufacturing jobs. And we've seen what the Starbucks workers are doing, for example, under very difficult circumstances that we can change because he's for massive labor law reform. He's the first president since the 60s to take antitrust law, which is still on the book, seriously, and break up the power of big monopolies, which is why we pay so much for things. Why we can't get access to basic things is we've allowed the right-wing courts and both kind of moderate Democratic and conservative Republican administrations have simply stopped enforcing the laws on the books. President Biden is much better that way, and is investing heavily in antitrust. He tried to lower child poverty and poverty in general by over 40%, and he did it temporarily. He couldn't get it made permanent. He still wants to. That would be the biggest massive redistribution of income to average working people that we've seen since the New Deal. And we are this close if we give this president another term and give him a Congress that will pass it. He tried to do paid family medical leave. Do all we know that we're the only developed country in the world with zero guaranteed weeks and that over half of Americans have no paid time off? No wonder we have economic instability. We have to leave their jobs when they're sick, when their kids are sick, when they have to take care of a sick parent. And then we blame them for having to file for unemployment. What are they going to do? And so it just it's amazing how much he has tried to do and how much he actually got through. We got the CHIPS Act, the infrastructure law, where everyone talks about infrastructure decade after decade. As we become one of the worst infrastructures in the developed world, when we're still the richest country in the world.
Dr. Craig. They clearly constantly talked about Joe Biden and the gas prices and the oil prices. Under Joe Biden, we pumped more oil than any president in the history of the nation. And yet he's been accused of being the guy, you know, who has chosen, you know, and cost the increased prices of gas and oil. He's made us the number one producer of that in the world. So, I mean, a lot of it, Dr. Craig, there's truth, but there's so much fiction out here that it's important that we have to point out, right, what the truth is and where the fiction starts.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing and it's a problem. Elections are not enough about issues at all. They're often just about group identity. Where is my group? And we need to make it more about issues because so many people are in play, right? Unsure, are confused. What do I do about if I'm on the conservative or moderate side, about a Republican nominee that seems in his person and in his life to be against, in his own practice, every value I hold and believe in, but I think somehow he's going to defend my group. We need to be very specific because there is a plan, a 900-page plan called Project 2025 that's been compiled at the Heritage Foundation, which is going to be Trump's blueprint if reelected. It includes reversing everything on climate change. It includes everything on healthcare reverse when we need to go further than Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. It's amazing what's in it. And it's amazing how few of the people who currently tell pollsters they go vote for Donald Trump even know what's in it. And y'all, you have a responsibility to know what's in it and know what it will do to you, because really what they've done is created a false identity. They've made you believe that your interests are the same as huge corporate executives, billionaires, when in fact they're fleecing you. And they're giving you bread and circuses. They're giving you, you know, we're gonna seal the border. We're gonna hold people accountable. We're gonna stop all those lefties from what we don't like. We're gonna stop the threat of transgendered people to our kids. Like that's a threat, right? That will make up the threat and scare the hell out of people. And then hoping you won't look over at them destroying the American dream for you and your kids.
You know, Dr. Craig, that is so well said, and so we've got to just continue to roll up our sleeves and continue to fight the battle. That's all we can do, right?
Well, this is the story of democracy. It never gets easier. I think people got kind of complacent, right? It requires citizens to be involved and to do more than voting. A lot of folks need to get involved in civic organizations like Citizen Action Wisconsin and many others that are what happens is you can't stand up, say, to the power of the big utilities. We Energy is going for another 15% rate increase.
Yeah.
Okay. It'll be again.
We had a guy on from the Citizen Board yesterday talking about it. Dr. Craig, we got to go. Thank you very much, as always, my friend. We'll see you in another week. Up next, Jane Mattinair, Mattinair on Air, Greg Bach. I'll be back on tomorrow. The first hour, I'll be joined by my good friend, Attorney Roy Evans. And then we'll finish up with Omar, the pharmacist, in the pharmacy. Thank you, Calvin. Enjoy the rest of the day.